Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
Sorry, I've just I ate another one.
You just ate another one in that, like, that 15 seconds.
Jesus. Just doing... Sorry, we're going to do this on air, but there is some back-end stuff. I noticed the macros popped out of the intro. Should we just hit next?
No, mate. No, we can... We'll find the podcast later on. Don't worry. It'll get podcasted.
Oh, God.
Pearl,
all
don't
right.
worry.
I'm not worried, mate.
Okay,
hey,
so...
welcome, though.
Hi,
we've
oh,
got,
hey, what's up?
As you may well know, on a Wednesday, we get someone in to guest select... many famous people have come in, but none more famous than Pearl Little.
No, probably the most famous.
Hosts the BFM Top 10, which is tonight. Now, the interesting thing about getting in someone who does the Hot 10 is you're like, hey, what's their favourite music? Because they're always playing the hits. Mm. They're playing, like, the number one hits all the time.
And playing those new issues
cutting
as
edge.
Well. Cutting edge, straight off the press. Yeah, and yeah, because I guess half my show is music that other people have chosen for me to play. Other people being the listeners, of course. But, I mean, I love that.
That's good.
Yeah,
good.
It is good.
Now, Pearl, how did you first get involved with BFM?
I first got involved at BFM. I was at a party early last year. It was actually Hannah Rennick's flat party because I met Hannah in an English class and I was at her party. I didn't know anyone. And then I came across old Hunter Keane, who I went to high school with, and I hadn't seen him in a while. Started talking to him, don't know how, but started talking about BFM, said I was interested in the news. And he messaged John Michael Swanix, who was the interim news director at the time between Anna and Shemina, and I had a trial the next week. So yeah, I started out on the news team, did breakfast.
How did the trial go?
Do you know what actually happened? So trial, right? So the thing is, if you don't know, if you join the news team at BFM, you have to do a trial.
It's trial
a breakfast
by fire.
Writing.
It's kind of like a death tunnel where you
we
run down
like
and
throw
they throw
you
news
in.
Stories at you, and either you get them right or not.
We throw you in basically the hardest shift, which is the breakfast writing shift. And so it was John Michael, the news director at the time, and the other writer that was meant to be on the shift didn't turn up. So it was John Michael and me, a brand new volley who had never done it before. So it really was trial by fire. But yeah, it was good. So yeah, I started out on the news team.
That's BFM. In a nutshell, chucking the deep end.
God, yeah, just throw you in, see what happens. So I started on the news team, went to hosting The Wire, did the Thursday Wire for a while with talking to Andrew Little every week, which is
pretty exciting.
He's quite dry.
Fine.
Yeah, but he's nice.
I saw him at WOMAD.
If you ask about the Pike River, he gets quite fired up. So I did that quite a bit, make it interesting. And then I just fell into the top 10, which was has been the rest is history. I still help out the news team though, and Lillian, the news director's assistant,
vice news boss.
The news assistant. So I just do whatever Lillian tells me to do.
Would you say basically you're the boss of the news, or
no? Lillian's the boss of the news. Second in command. Yes.
Who? So if something were to happen to Lillian, maybe the bus doesn't pick her up, you just acting boss until she gets in?
Yeah, but acting boss is in like, I'm not going to come in, but you can message me if there's an issue, I guess.
Now, what's the first song you're going to play?
So I was thinking about what I wanted to play.
What was the brief that John gave you? Because
I just chose songs that either mean something to me or have a good memory. Stop it, you two. Have a memory attached for me. So all of these songs have a little bit of a story behind them.
That's great.
So the first track I have is Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. And the reason I've chosen the song is that because I don't think there's been a wedding in my family where the song hasn't had an interpretive dance done to it. Just knocked my phone off. That's right. And there's also this like myth at my family that if you stay late enough after dinner and my dad is drunk enough, you might see him do the red dress Wuthering Heights choreography. And I think only three out of five of us siblings have seen it, including myself.
Does
and it's pretty spectacular.
Is it like a red dress?
He doesn't wear a red dress. One night he wore an adult onesie.
Did it feel like a rite of passage?
It did feel like a rite of passage. You definitely hold it over the other two siblings who haven't seen it. So yeah, that's the song I'm going to play first. It's also just a fantastic song, obviously.
Agreed.
Could you leave me when
at the record show, Phil has instructed us to fade this down.
Yeah, that's true. You can do that. It's fine.
Now, what's your next story?
King of the Fade. Mad Fade.
What have you got? What's this next song that means something special to you?
The next song is Up on Cripple Creek by the band. So this is the live version that they did at the last waltz.
Yes.
And the reason I've chosen this version is because, every Christmas Eve, my family and I, and any partners of the family, sit around and watch the entirety of the last waltz. Which, of course, if you didn't know, was the last time the band who were Bob Dylan's band before they were on the band ever performed.
A Scorsese production.
Scorsese documentary. It's amazing.
John knows all about it. We have a friend that punished us through this a few times. So shout out to that, Ken, if
you're out
there.
It's a bloody journey. But yeah, I mean, you guys are missing out on the Easter eggs, such as the Coke that you can see up Neil Young's nose when Muddy Waters' bass player is like fully hating on Robbie Robertson because Robbie Robertson is being like a massive dick. And like one of my sisters always cries when Neil Young and Joni sing together, Joni Mitchell, because that was like just after they'd broken up she's behind a screen.
Yeah,
it's really emotional.
Yeah.
And yeah, and there's always like lots of drunk fights about like rewinding to like which song we want to see again.
What's your thoughts on the Van Morrison performance?
I was like, oh, I love the band.
It's weird though, eh?
I
feel like
weird.
A lot of people are like, who the fuck is this guy? But he's throwing down like a drunk uncle, and like he's kicking out.
Because what does he do? Caravan.
He's amazing, he's amazing.
I think the whole thing is fantastic. Like, if you haven't watched The Last Waltz, you've got to see
it.
It's so good. So yeah, this is Up on
Cripple
Creek.
It must be like one of the top music documentaries ever, right?
Yeah, I would say so. In my opinion, it is.
Or is it a documentary? I don't know. But let's play
it
this
is a
damn song.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
It's a very cute story, Phil.
Thank you.
We had Spike Jones on the box. She
R.I.P. Levon Helm. He can sing like a bird, he can sing like a frog.
So sad.
Ooh.
Now, tell
that,
us.
That was the band, everyone, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Cripple Creek Live at the Last Waltz there. Where was that gig? Where did they play that gig?
I think it was in Chicago.
Cool.
I don't know what the theatre was, though, but yeah, I think it was in Chicago, from memory. I should know that, but yeah.
I don't know, I don't.
Yeah, it's not what I'm paying attention to.
Now, Pearl Little of the Top 10
yes.
here on BFM and Vice News Boss.
And basically new BFM Boss as well when he's away.
Yeah, I run the station when Hugh Sunday's away, definitely. I'm going to put that out there. We'll see if he hears that.
Do you have another song and another story for
us? Yes. So the next song
Sit
I have...
Sit Down by the Fire, children.
Yes, it is some of those Sit Down by the Fire songs. And the next song is The Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest by Bob Dylan. And this was a kind of a random pick. A lot of my music was introduced to me by my dad, and probably one of the biggest influences that my dad has had on my music taste has been Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground, because he was very, very obsessed when he was a teenager about them. And so I was originally going to pick one of those songs, and then I just came across this when I was looking, and it kind of reminded me, because me and my dad used to go on a lot of road trips when I was a kid, so we'd go all around the South Island and North Island, we'd always listen to these albums. And this one...
What were you guys doing? Grifting?
No, just travelling. Dad did some travel, used to do some travel riding back in the day for New Zealand Mag.
Jumping
Are you
trains.
Sure he wasn't like, just do this
we
weird little thing?
We were in cars.
And then
so,
next thing you were
no,
holding strangers'
sure.
money? Or,
no, no, I'm pretty okay. sure. So yeah, we used to go on lots of road trips, and this particular one, I think we were driving around Otago, and we listened to this album, which is John Wesley Harding, which I think is like Dylan's seventh studio album or something, and this is a track that I've always really loved. It's The Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest. It's pretty like quintessential Dylan, got a bit of a story and all that.
Well, Dylan, the band, this is good.
I know,
synergy.
It's kind of flowing a little bit, I guess. So.
For those that don't know, the band used to play for Dylan.
They were so the band. They speed. Were Bob Dylan's band. That's where they got
everyone
the band.
Everyone was calling them the band, so they decided to call themselves
well,
like,
we'll
the band.
We'll make our own band, and we'll say we're the band. Anyway, yes, this is that Bob Dylan song.
Well, Frankie Lee and Judas Priest, they were the best of friends. So when Frankie Lee needed money one day, Judas quickly pulled out a roll of tens and placed them on a footstool just above the plotted plain, saying, take your pick, Frankie boy, my loss will be your gain. Well, Frankie Lee, he He sat right down and put his fingers to his chin. But with the cold eyes of Judas on him, his head began to spin. Could you please not stare at me like that, he said. It's just my foolish pride. But sometimes a man must be alone, and this is no place to hide. Well, Judas, he just winked and said, all right, I'll leave you here. But you better hurry up and choose which of those bills you want before they all disappear. I'm gonna start my picking right now, just tell me where you'll be. Judas pointed down the road and said, eternity. Eternity, said Frankie Lee, with a voice as cold as ice. That's right, said Judas, eternity, though you might call it paradise. I don't call it anything, said Frankie Lee with a smile. All right, said Judas Priest, I'll see you after a while. Well, Frankie Lee, he sat back down, feeling low and mean. When just then a passing stranger burst upon the scene, saying, are you Frankie Lee, the gambler, whose father's deceased? Well, if you are, there's a fella calling you down the road, and they say his name is Priest. Oh, yes, he is my friend, said Frankie Lee in fright. I do recall him very well. In fact, he just left my sight. Yes, that's the one, said the stranger, as quiet as a mouse. Well, my message is he's down the road, stranded in a house. Well, Frankie Lee, he panicked, he dropped everything and ran, until he came onto the spot where Judas Priest did stand. What kind of house is this, he said, where I have come to roam? It's not a house, says Judas Priest, it's not a house, it's a home. Well, Frankie Lee, he trembled, he soon lost all control over everything which he had made while the mission bells did toll. He just stood there staring at that big house as bright as any sun, with 24 windows and a woman's face in every one. Well, up the stairs ran Frankie Lee with a soulful bounding leap, and foaming at the mouth, he began to make his midnight creep. For 16 nights and days he raved, but on the 17th he burst into the arms of Judas Priest, which is where he died of thirst. No one tried to say a thing when they carried him out in jest, except of course the little neighbor boy who carried him to rest. And he just walked along alone with his guilt so well concealed, and muttered underneath his breath, nothing is revealed. Story. The moral of this song is simply that one should never be where one does not belong. So when you see your neighbor carrying something, help him with his load, and don't go mistaking paradise for that home across the road.
Old mate, BD.
Yes, that was Bob Dylan. Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest.
God, he's great on the harmonica.
God, so beautiful. Storyteller.
You're also turning out to be a bit of a storyteller.
Yeah, I've got some stories.
What's your next story?
I don't really have that big of or that good of a story about this song.
You're kind of going on a little bit though, to be fair.
Shut the fuck up. This is Joni Mitchell. It's Carrie. The reason I chose the song, just because it reminds me of my mum. My mum loves Joni Mitchell. It reminds me of summer. It always reminds me of drinking beer. And it's also, I just realized it's Joni Mitchell's birthday today. And Joni Mitchell, NPR, did that list of the, like, 500 greatest albums by woman, and Blue was at number one. So
well, I'm Blue, double D-da-da-die, double D-double-die.
Yeah, that song was at number one.
Is it a conflict of interest when you're scuzzing said beer and then you're, like, starting to think about your mom and you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have another one, but these beers,
nah,
this song. And
nah, not in my family. yeah, so this is Carrie by Joni Mitchell.
The wind is in from Africa. Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave here, Carrie, but it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy, I've got beach tar on my feet, and I miss my clean white linen and my fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cage. And these soldiers, a round for these friends of mine. Let's have another round for the bright red devil who keeps me in this tourist town. Come on, Carrie, get out your cage. I'll go to Rome and rent me a grand piano and put some flowers round my room. But let's not talk about fare-thee-wells now. The night is a starry dawn and they're playing that scratchy rock and roll beneath the mantle of moon. Come on, Carrie, get out your cage. I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave you, but it's really not my home. Maybe it's been too long a time since I was scrambling down in the street. Now they got me used to that clean white linen and that fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cage.
Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell, that was Carrie.
This has been a real step back in time, Pearl. Not what I was expecting.
Oh, really? Well, you know. Sorry, it's doing a stretch. Well, we're going to actually drastically quite go in the basically complete opposite direction right now.
Okay.
This next song is a Tyler the Creator track from his first album. And it's here because I think the other person who influenced my music taste the most, apart from my dad, was my older brother Daniel, and he was kind of the one who got me listening to a lot of hip-hop and rap music that I probably wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. So yeah, I got introduced to the song when I was in year 9, so in my first year of high school, and it started...
Did it change your perspective on shit?
I think it was actually quite genuinely the first experimental, quote-unquote, rap music that I listened to, and I was kind of like, oh my god, like, this is fucking awesome.
Did it take you, was it instant, or you took a while to get a taste for it?
It was pretty instant. I mean, the first thing I saw from Tyler the Creator was his, like, the one that everyone knows, that Yonkers video where he's in the black and white, he's got the cockroaches, it's really scary. That was the first thing I saw, and then I started listening to the albums, and I think it was a bit instant. It was like, I've never really heard anything like this before, and I fucking love it. It started a really long obsession with Odd Future, who was, you know, the bigger group that Frank Ocean came out of, that has sort of stayed to this day. And honestly, though, when I found
refreshing rap angle.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I don't know everything about rap music, but it was sort of, you know,
too late.
That first thing that I listened to and I was like, wow. Yeah, and it was quite funny going back and listening to the song for the first time in honestly years, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't
still
believe
got
I
it?
Was
no?
Still got it, but also I can't believe I was 13 years old and listening to this. So yeah, this is Radicals, and it's from the Goblin album.
Would you let your kids listen to this?
Fuck no. Jesus Christ.
Hey. Don't do anything that I say in this song, okay? It's fucking fiction. If anything happens, don't fucking blame me, white America. Fuck Bill O'Reilly. 4, 3, 2, 1. What the fuck I look like saying I'm sorry to a bunch of fucking bags that can't potentially harm? I ain't never gonna bow down to your expectation. By the way, I got 60 fucking walls that'll guard me. The skate hard, thrash, black hoodies, try something. Make sure your fucking feelings end up in a glad bag. Fuck all your opinions, I'm trying to put a shoestring. And fuck the fat lady, it's over when all the kids sing. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Kill people. Burn shit, fuck school. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Fucking radical, nigga. Fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical. Fucking radical, nigga. Fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical.
Our future wolf gang. Came together cuz we ain't had nobody else. And you? You just might be one of us. Are you?
Fuck cops, I'm a fucking rock star. Rebel and defiance makes my motherfucking cock hard. Fuck bitch, fuck guard, awesome fucking retard. Fuck school, I'm a fuck up, fuck Harvard. I ain't got no fucking money. I ain't got no motherfucking daddy, he ain't teach me shit. Child support, they come, that faggot still ain't bought me anything. Fuck the fat lady, it's over when all the kids sing. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. 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 Fucking radical, nigga, fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical.
They want us to go to these schools and be fucking miserable at they fucking college, studying that bullshit. Fuck that. Do what the fuck it makes you happy. Cause at the end, who's there? You.
Fuck school. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Fucking radical, nigga, fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical. Fucking radical, nigga, fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. 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 Fucking radical, nigga, fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical. Fucking radical, nigga, fucking radical. Fucking radical, I'm motherfucking radical.
You hear that, nigga? That's cold shit right there, nigga. Wolfgang. Everybody else, nigga. Stand for something. Get money, nigga.
N-bomb alert. There might be a couple of N-bombs.
There's, I think, a lot worse than that in the song.
Heavy Duty.
Yeah.
Right on, right on, right on.
I was just saying to John, you know, this all this early Odd Future and Tyler the Creator music used to have a lot of slurs and misogynistic raps and all that stuff, and Tyler the Creator's really sort of changed his tone now with his, you know, most recent album. Sort of, I don't know, growing up. I guess.
I feel like sometimes you possibly wouldn't last too long in the game if
you're a young hype
on,
kid the whole
carry
time.
On with that attitude.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's
the whole thing.
It's interesting how people change their
stick. The whole thing was like just YouTube videos of them beating each other up and skating and stuff. But yeah.
Hey, just FYI, everyone. The Last Waltz was filmed at Billy Graham's famous Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco.
Ah, awesome. Good to know.
Right on, Ron. Hey, thank you so much, Pearl, for coming in for What's Cooking.
Thank you.
And everyone stay tuned for the top 10 later on.
And oh my God, yeah, I feel like
dot. Have you smoked all your songs? No? You got none left?
Nah, I've got heaps of songs, obviously. Got lots of songs to play. Make sure you listen.
There's a new top 10. Am I looking at the new or the old top 10?
That's the new one. Don't say anything, but you can look at it. Say something without saying something.
Well, rightly so, there's a king at number one.
Do you know what is bizarre?
Right?
Alright. Alright, that's alright.
Not there's quite a strong New Zealand presence.
Has Pearl Jam 10 had a reissue? Why is Evenflow number one?
Oh, yeah.
Ding!
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.